I'm teaching at junior schools, clog dancing. I do 8 schools at the moment, between 8 and 10 year olds. And we've had clogs made for them all. And I'm a sort of peripatetic clog dance teacher.
How do the kids react to it?
They love it. I mean, first of all, they have something on their feet which makes a noise, which is they love, you know. So first of all, I have to stop them from jumping up about and sliding across the floor with the clogs on and things. But once they settle down to the steps, they really enjoy it and have a good go at it.
Yeah. And how does the Welsh clog style compare with the various English styles?
Well, I suppose I should mention, first of all, there were 2 styles of clogging in Wales. One was the toe clogging, which was found in the Bangor area. Now, I assume that was like English sort of Lancashire clogging, very much on the toes. But I've never seen any of this. I assume that it's died out, really. Then there's the heel and toe clogging, which is now the popular version, and that came from the Berwyn Mountains. Now, the heel and toe clogging is very much different from English. I remember the first time I actually taught English clog dancers was at a clog dance weekend in Newport. And these dancers that I was teaching, they were very, very good Lancashire clog dancers. And I didn't really know why I was there, you know, because I could see them warming up and the steps they were doing were superb. So I started off with teaching them just a very basic Welsh step, and they couldn't do it. And I thought, well, this is amazing. And they thoroughly enjoyed learning something new, you know. So that's how different it was. Mm. Then, of course, they tried to teach me Lancashire, and I was absolutely hopeless.
We're talking about English dancing. How does it compare with Irish dancing?
Well, you can see this really from the music, because I've danced to an Irish fiddle player, Welsh steps to an Irish fiddle player, and it didn't quite work. It's as if, really, with Irish dancing, the music seems to be on the upbeat, but with Welsh stepping, it's on the downbeat. And when you see Irish dancers dancing to the reels and the Irish jigs and all that, it fits very, very well. But when you try and dance Welsh steps to Irish music, it's very difficult.
Mm. What little I've seen of Welsh clog dancing, it seems to be very energetic.
It is. I mean, it was noted as being a man's dance. It was a chance for a man to show off how macho he was, you know. I've often said if Superman was around then, he would have been a clog dancer, you know, with the jabot and the breeches on. And he would show off. It would always be at the end of an evening of dance that the clog dancer would come on. But it was also very competitive. Sometimes you'd have 2 clog dancers on the floor. Or step dancers, of course, because not everyone wore clogs. And they would compete against one another. And the person who could dance the fastest steps or perform the most ridiculous things, you know, like somersaults and jumping up in the air and touching their feet and things like that, was the winner. Mm-hmm. And apparently he won all the beer he could drink, or lady of his choice, you know. That's the way it goes.
Well, since you've got your clogs on, let's have a bit of a dance. You try them on scene, not too many overheads, if you don't mind. Hugh Williams through the Millikan Radio, accompanied by our log, who were a long way away at the time. Thank you, Hugh. Where did you learn to dance?
Well, I first started when I was 12, because of the local Welsh folk dance team, the Brymau Welsh Folk Dancers, which is the town where I originally came from. And my brother was in that team. They're a very well-known group. They've been going, well, to most places in Europe since about 1952. Mm. And so that's how I started with that group.
And this was really social dance?
This was really display dancing. They did a little bit of clog dancing, but the rest I had to pick up off other people, because these really were a display team doing social dances.
Mm. Is there a lot of social dance in Wales?
Yes, there is. I play with a ceilidh band myself called Parsley Hay, and we do a lot of ceilidhs and tumpeth dances in Gwent. We do mostly Scottish, Irish and Welsh, as far as the ceilidh goes. I know there are some bands who just specialise in Welsh dancing. But probably the biggest growth area now is the display teams.
Mm-hmm.
And they seem to be springing up from everywhere.
Really, yes. And is there a lot of material for them? Have they got to research and find traditional material, or is there plenty available to them at the
yes,
moment?
Yes, it's not very good. I mean, because of the religious revival, of course, it all disappeared, the Welsh dances. It was frowned upon to dance and was practically wiped out. So what they started to do from about 1947 on is try and dig back and find pieces of manuscript or people who actually saw it, who may have been still alive, to try and pick out certain dances and try and revive them, which is eventually what they did. And there's certain dances, they're the dances from Nant Garw, what they call the Nant Garw Fair dances. Then there's the dances that were actually written down by William Jones, called the Llangadfan dances. But there's not an awful lot, there's still a lot of research to be done.
Well, we're coming up towards the news now, Hugh. We're going into the news with a tune called Owen Hugh. I think this was associated with a dancer, wasn't it?
Yes, now, Owen Hugh Roberts, he doesn't dance as much as he used to now, but the last time I spoke to Owen Hugh actually was in the summer when we went to France together with the Brymau Welsh Folk Dancers. But Owen Hugh Roberts is probably one of the greatest Welsh clog dancers of our time. He's influenced everyone in the way they dance, and his pupils at the Colwyn Bay School he taught at have taught many Welsh Eisteddfod for quite a number of years. And this is a tune, I believe, written by David Roberts, who also is the grandson of the harper who used to play at Lady Llanover's court, little village called Llanover near Abergavenny. And also, actually, David Roberts used to play with the Brymau Welsh folk dancers, and they used to go abroad down to the south of France. And, of course, David Roberts came from North Wales, so the only time dancers and band would ever meet was actually when they got to Dover, ready to go to the ferry. So the only chance they had to practice were the train stops on the way down. You know, they'd go about halfway through France, and then they had to wait 2 hours for the next train, so they used to practice there, and when the train stopped again, they'd practice again, you know. Except one year, they were on their way down to Nice, and the travelling arrangements had been pretty good, and they didn't really have to stop anywhere at all, so they never got the practice. When it came to the big stage event, the Ukraines were on just before them, and the Ukraines, of course, noted for the very fast dancing, very energetic, shouting and screaming everywhere. It is a marvellous display to see. And then the Welsh came on after, of course, and they were doing a collection of very sort of sedate dances, really. And the band started to play, the dancers began to dance, and then the dancers started to think, well, the music seems to be speeding up. So the dancers danced a little quicker. The band thought, hey, hang on, they're dancing faster. So the band started to play quicker, and things just went on from there until eventually the dance was whizzing around so fast that one of the boys couldn't hold the floor any longer, and so slid across the stage. And the Ukrainians had left a rather large drum on stage. His foot hit this, and he bounced off it. There was wonderful applause, apparently, from the audience. And the headlines in the French papers next day was Welsh outdance Ukrainians.
Good story, Hugh. Here's Owen Hugh.